89.7 FM Drive.
And we're back on Eastside Radio. My name is Danielle Young, and with me on the line is Craig Isherwood. Hello, Craig, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How are you, Daniel?
I'm very well, thanks.
That's good.
Now, Julia Gillard is promising direly needed health reforms, but is her so-called death panel a step too far? Craig Isherwood, National Secretary of the Citizens Electoral Council of Australia, is here to tell us his opinion. Now, Craig, can you explain to our listeners what this death panel is and its implications for our health system?
Yes, it's a term that we use, Danielle, to describe the process by which people end up getting care or not getting care in the hospital system. What Julia Gillard is and the Labor government is moving towards is a system of what's called activity-based funding, which in Victoria used to be called case-mix funding. And that's basically where an independent body sets an efficient price for certain procedures within hospitals. And that's a set price that's paid for certain procedures in the hospitals. And this is supposed to be an incentive for the hospital to become more efficient. So basically what's happening is that a price is set for operations, and the hospitals then will tend to view the patients in more monetarist terms. In other words, they put a price on the value of the care that that patient will get. Now, in order to arbitrate what the price is, this is a very, very sensitive issue for politicians, because basically they're saying to people's loved ones, this is the price upon which your loved ones will get care. And therefore, in order to make sure that we don't get the political backlash from this, we are going to set up an independent body, just like the Reserve Bank Australia does for the banking system, which sets up an independent body apart from the political process. So when these decisions are made in a system of economic hardship like we have now, where there's already chronic underfunding in the healthcare system and people aren't able to get medical care, then the politicians don't get blamed, or there's no efficient way, in a sense, to take on the politicians, because they can say, oh, well, we're allowing this independent panel to make the decisions. Now, this is the same model that's being used by Obamacare in the United States, and it's the same model that's being used by Britain's National Institute for Health and Clinical Excellence, or uses the acronym NICE, N-I-C-E, and it's not very nice at all.
And this was actually a part of Kevin Rudd's proposed health reforms as well, which were unceremoniously thrown out the window. So why was this aspect kept?
Well, this is the guts of it. This is the operational part of it, because you have a shrinking economy in terms of government revenue, in terms of the money being able to be spent per capita on the population. We have an aging population. So the solution in many parts of the world, like I said, in the United States, which has got big problems with their budgets, in England as well, is to put a price on human life. Now, we've said very clearly politically, this is the same idea of putting a price on a person's life as Hitler's idea of a life not worthy to be lived, that you actually put a monetary value on a person's life. Now, this was done, as we're a political party, as you know, Danielle, and we've been around for 23 years, and we've been fighting economic rationalism and deregulation and privatisation, globalisation, as policies that destroy the nation state, whereby a nation state, a government, should be actually protecting and developing the potentials of its people. Now, since 1997, we've been fighting this in earnest, and because we're based here in Victoria, we have a lot of experience, particularly under the Kennett government, of the exact same policy. Because Jeff Kennett, when he was Premier of Victoria, wanted to cut the health budget, and he did this through exactly the same method of case mix funding in 2 years. He, in many cases, a lot of rural hospitals shut down because they weren't able to operate at the prices that the Kennett bodies set the levels of payment for various operations. For example, the Maui Hospital was forced to close in 1995 after losing $12 million, or 25% of its annual budget. And this, the health system in Victoria was an absolute disarray, because what was happening is that because hospitals were trying to become efficient, trying to compete for medical funds, they were taking shortcuts. So many patients that should have had better care, other operations, extended stays in hospitals, were being discharged early, only to come back a second and a third time in order to get what was done, should have been done properly the first time done.
So are you saying that clinical effectiveness is being sacrificed for cost effectiveness?
That's exactly right, and I'm not the only one who said that. In fact, in 2009, the European Journal of Cancer editorial accused the British system, that's NICE, of basing its funding decisions not on clinical effectiveness but on cost effectiveness. London oncologist and oncologist, that's the people who fight cancer, and professor of cancer medicine at the Imperial College School of Medicine, Dr. Carol Sciorra, wrote in 2009, as a practicing oncologist, I am forced to give patients older, cheaper medicines. The real cost of this penny pinching is premature death of thousands of patients. The higher overall health costs than if had been treated properly. In other words, this is what's coming to Australia, where basic operations on healthier, younger people are going to be done at the expense of more complicated procedures on older, unhealthy patients.
Right, and for an ageing population, we really need to sort out our health system now before it's too late. Could this commission have any positive effects on helping our hospitals deal with the increasing number of patients?
No, it won't, because the problem comes back to the bigger economic questions, Danielle, than just trying to solve this within the area of hospital and medical funding itself. The problem is that our economy is based upon free trade and deregulation, privatisation. We've lost a lot of the physical economy, the productive side of our economy, over the last 30 to 40 years, and we've moved more into a service-based economy. We actually, and this is all based upon the fact that we have a great deal of emphasis put on what we call, in our organisation, monetarism, that is the speculative economy. And what we've seen with the global financial crisis is that the entire world's economy has moved away from funding real productive activities, you know, farming, manufacturing, and building real infrastructure, to speculation on the money markets, stock exchanges, and these things called derivatives, which, of course, you saw were at the heart of the global financial crisis back in 2007, where some of the biggest banks in America collapsed, and they had a ricochet effect around the world. Whilst we are in a system that relies or places a value on money instead of on the value of the productive economy and therefore people, then there is no solution, because everywhere, and even today, what you see is that decisions are being made all over the place to try and prop up this monetarist system that is, nothing's being done about it on the international level.
Craig Isherwood, William Hivera speaking. Yes. What do you think that would be the solution then?
The solution has to be that we actually have to throw a wall of money at the into our healthcare system. That we have to begin to treat human beings as absolutely valuable. And, you know, we have a policy of unlimited healthcare for all Australians. I mean, we're only 22 million people. It's not like we're 2.2 billion people. We're 22 million people. We are so-called one of the wealthiest countries in the world, yet we can't afford healthcare or even universal dental care for our people. It's a political decision first and foremost. We've seen our government bail out the banks through various different methods since 2008. And whilst that process keeps going, and we've failed to actually have a political decision to say we are going to support and develop our population, both in education, both in health, then I'm afraid there is no solution in the current reigning economic and political policies.
And yeah. I heard not long ago we're actually sending like $500 million overseas to Indonesian schools. Should we perhaps be focusing more on our own people?
The solution begins in the sense of beginning to recognise that we have to increase the physical productive capacity of our own economy. We send $500 million as a drop in the bucket when you compare to the amount of money that is actually sent offshore in massive mining companies like BHP Billiton, which is digging huge holes in our country, where they look at making a record profit this year of $25 billion. And that's just one company. So you look at Rio Tinto, and you look at, as well as BHP, and you look at all the oil and gas revenues that are going offshore, and you start to see that a lot of the real wealth in our country is just disappearing. Now, you know, I do not think it's a bad thing for Australians to have a policy of helping our neighbours where they need it. But I think the policy has to be helping our neighbours develop economically, develop their industries, develop their capabilities to feed their own people ahead of just straight money. And that's our policy pretty much for everything. And as far as, you know, in terms of immigration even, there's a big stink, and I think I was just listening on the radio before, on the internet before, as far as we are concerned, we don't have enough people. We should welcome the boat people here from all nationalities, from all religious backgrounds, from all around the world, but we need to be able to provide them with decent, well-paying jobs. We need to be able to support them and get them into our economy as productive individuals. The model for that in our country is the Snowy Mountain Scheme, which was done under the post-war reconstruction scheme of Curt and Chifley, whereby we brought hundreds of thousands of refugees from the war in Europe into our country and assimilated them into Australian way of life. And it's really enriched our Australian way of life from all the different Italian and European ethnic groups. We can do that again, but we have to have a vision for our country based upon the value for human life, the value of people's contributions. So we represent a completely different view of how politics or how our country should be run.
Yeah, and you've got a good point. We do really need to start paying attention to our own people and, you know, giving us some decent health care. Well, thank you for your time today and giving us your opinion on these new important issues about our future in the health system. So thanks for joining us again, Craig Isherwood.
You're welcome, Daniel.
Thanks very much. What do you think?